Hey everyone, welcome back to Home on the Res. This is our last episode of Season 2.
But you can listen or download all 12 episodes of Home on the Res from the FinBoa website. I'm Jennifer Francis. I'm finishing up my Indigenous Communication Arts and Political Science degrees at the First Nations University of Canada.
I'm Mick Favel, an ICA grad and now a journalism student at the University of Regina.
For our last episode, we are looking into a serious topic, but a really important one. Today, we're talking about fires on First Nations.
I read that people who live on First Nations reserves are 2.5 times more likely to have a fire than people living off reserve.
That's crazy. And if you add the wildfires that have forced people to evacuate from so many reserves, fire is not our friend, my friend.
That's for sure. But in today's podcast, we talked to two people who are working to prevent fires.
The first person we'll hear from is Michelle Vandervoort.
Michelle has been a volunteer firefighter in her community of Muscadet First Nation in Saskatchewan for 21 years.
Michelle is the Associate Director for Saskatchewan First Nations Emergency Management, which supports all Saskatchewan First Nations with qualified emergency management services. And the focus of their training is to build capacity right in First Nations communities. Michelle, thanks for talking to us. I must say, I was surprised that we were going to talk to a lady firefighter. Are there a lot of you?
It's really hard to say because there's no one keeping stats on First Nation firefighting on reserve. So when I started, it was very rare for me to see other females at provincial volunteer firefighting schools. And this summer, I had the opportunity to attend the National First Nation Firefighting Competition, and I was happy to see many women competing on the provincial teams.
That's great. Can you tell me a little bit more about women getting involved in firefighting?
Well, right now across Canada, all volunteer fire departments are struggling with recruitment. Finding people who are willing to sacrifice their lives for free is not easy. And another huge factor is that 90% of calls received to our volunteer fire departments on reserve is someone you know or related to, which is very hard. Women are a huge untapped resource in our communities for firefighting. I know there are many who, if they tried volunteering on the fire department, would love it. There are many jobs that need to be filled, and everyone has special talents that they can share. It's not always about running into a burning building. It's about protecting our communities before a fire happens so that they never happen. I think this is a huge gap in our communities. We need more manpower to help make all of our communities fire safe. Each resident, teacher, leader, and staff member on reserve has responsibilities. And if we all work together to pool resources to make sure every building and home is fire safe, we could eliminate home fires.
I know that organizations like the National Fire Protection Association have different safety education programs. Are these programs useful for your work?
So one of the main programs that our office utilizes is the NFPA Learn Not to Burn program and resources. We also use FireSmart. There's an NFPA Remembering When program for elders. It's not just programs, but some of the boards and partnerships we've made that are important as well, such as the Indigenous Fire Marshal's Office, the Aboriginal Firefighters Association of Canada, and the Canadian Association of Fire Chiefs.
That's great that you have resources from other organizations. Who is the target audience for these programs?
Most of the programs available are targeted for children, but we have found many other resources for everyone in the household. So an example of that is when we do a school fire safety visit, we have a contest in the school, school-wide, to have the classes compete to return home escape plans that have been completed with caregivers at home. This takes the conversation about fire safety into the homes and teaches the whole household how to escape fire safely. As firefighters, we know that the best defense to survive a house fire is to have and practice a home fire escape plan.
Is there anything you wanted to add?
I'd just like to say how important it is to remember that each fire we have on reserve is preventable. We need all communities to have proper fire safety public education implemented as a program on reserve. We need fire safety volunteers in our communities to help fire departments with this vital work. Everyone wants and deserves a safe home, and we need more program dollars to help address fire safety deficiencies. I encourage more people to step up to the plate and support your volunteer fire departments. We ask so much from them all, and they deserve community support.
That's so true. Next time I see a firefighter, I'm going to shake their hand and thank them. Is there anything else you want to add?
I'm the Associate Director for Saskatchewan First Nations Emergency Management. So what we do is we're providing all Saskatchewan First Nations with qualified emergency management services, like training, mentoring, and support to build resiliency and capacity for our First Nation communities throughout Saskatchewan. So what we do is we have firefighters who are going out and training our fire departments. They also go out and do emergency management courses. So we're helping build all of that resiliency. So when you have a fire or you have an emergency on reserve, that capacity is all built at the band level, and we can manage our own emergencies. And all of our services are free as well. So I know that's also a barrier for a lot of First Nation communities, is expensive contractors to sometimes, you know, have those services on reserve. So it really is making a huge difference in Saskatchewan and our First Nation communities. And I'm just so proud to be able to be a part of the solution.
That was awesome. Me too. When I see a firefighter, I'm going to shake their hand and thank them for the amazing work they do.
The other person I talked to is Arnold Lazar from the Ganawage Mohawk Territory near Montreal. Arnold has worked for the Ganawage Fire Department for 40 years. He was the fire chief for 17 years, he was the director of public safety for 6 years, and he is currently seconded to the Indigenous Fire Marshal Office.
The Indigenous Fire Marshal Office is a project started by the Aboriginal Firefighters Association of Canada. In 2019, they held meetings right across Canada to engage communities and find out what they need.
And you can find the report on the ifmo.ca website. Thanks for speaking with us today, Arnold. To start off, can you tell me who provides firefighting services to First Nations?
There's a wide variety of fire suppression services depending on the community. This includes fully paid fire services, combination with paid and volunteer, paid when they train but volunteer to respond, paid on call or by call. Many have paid fire chiefs with volunteer members, and some communities are covered by non-native neighboring departments through municipal agreements, but for sure, the majority of First Nations are all volunteer.
I found an incredibly alarming statistic that people living on First Nations are 10 times more likely to die in a house fire compared to people living off reserve. Why is that?
Well, there's several contributing factors. There's a substandard housing construction coupled with housing shortages that result in a higher occupancy rate. So when there's an incident, the chances of life loss and injuries are much higher. Also, in many communities, there is little or no fire prevention done, and or the funds designated for suppression and equipment is often diverted from the fire department to other programs. And, of course, there are many communities that don't have an operating fire department.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for communities?
Well, the first and foremost is a lack of fire prevention programs that would identify potential issues before the fire starts. In our Indigenous Fire Marshal's office, we say if the trucks have to roll, then we've already fallen behind.
Interesting. Can you tell me about the equipment that is needed to fight fires?
Well, it really depends on the community. There are many have communities that have the state-of-the-art equipment, like, for instance, Ganawage has a 100-foot platform aerial with state-of-the-art pumps and well-trained. There's a few communities across the nation that are equipped to this level. And then there's many have-nots with little, poor, or no equipment at all. So it really comes down to the capacity of the First Nation.
What about at the grassroots level? What are some of the things we can do to prevent fires in our houses today?
We do know that smoke and carbon monoxide detectors do save lives. That is actually the first line of defense. Unfortunately, the statistics will show that in some of the houses with smoke detectors, either the batteries are removed or the smoke detector's in the wrong spot. So we're going to be developing a plan to come up with a fire prevention program for that. If families are aware of family escape plans, that will really go far. If the children know that they have to get out and stay out when the smoke detector goes off. We also look at home safety inspections. In many small communities, it would be financially beneficial to install residential sprinklers so that, because if you look at the cost of say, retrofitting a community of 50 houses, it would be about $50,000 compared to $1.1 million to start a fire department. The big focus is on prevention. Home inspections, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, teaching the children what to do in the case of a fire. So these are items that the Indigenous Fire Marshal Office is working towards.
Can you tell me more about the Indigenous Fire Marshal Office?
Well, the Aboriginal Firefighters Association of Canada has been asking or advocating for the implementation of an Indigenous Fire Marshal's office for at least 10 years. More recently, the Assembly of First Nations passed a resolution supporting AFAC's bid to create an Indigenous Fire Marshal's office. The House of Commons recent report also supports the creation of an Indigenous Fire Marshal's office, and Indigenous Affairs has come up with a budget to begin the implementation of the Indigenous Fire Marshal project. The actual project itself has completed 8 engagement sessions across the nation with the intent of finding out what communities would need and want. The direct result will be the implementation of a fire data collection program. And we're pleased to announce that the plan is scheduled to be operating and announced for April 2020.
Congratulations. That's a great step forward.
That was awesome. Thanks to Michelle and Arnold for sharing with us. I shake hands with both of you.
You know, I see a real trend towards First Nations taking control and determining for ourselves what we need, and developing capacity right in their own communities.
That's right. That was a message we got in every episode of Home on the Res.
I'm sad to say this is the final episode of Home on the Res.
But it's not over for our listeners. You can listen or download episodes of Home on the Res from the FNBOA website at www.fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our Chase producer and coordinator, Annette Ermine, Morgan Esperance did all of our transcripts, Megan Curry designed the beautiful Home on the Res logo, Shannon Avison wrote the scripts, and we got to host Home on the Res.
Don't forget John Krajowski and Keith Maracle from FNBOA and the board of FNBOA for giving us this opportunity to produce Home on the Res.
I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFable. Thanks for listening.
Hi. Hi.